This is the Penalty Office Music Business 101 podcast series. I'm Neil Levine.
And I'm Warren Schatz.
We'll be having conversations about everything from old school music business to the current state of the business. Everything from hip hop to pop. We'll have lots of guests and go pretty deep.
I'd like to welcome Diego Fresh to the Penalty Office 101 Music Business Podcast. Diego.
Hey, Diego. Welcome. What's up, man? It's good to see you.
Yeah,
I know you got a big record just reading last Friday, man. Go ahead with Boozy Badass.
I put her on the plane if she won't go ahead. Let her spin the whole thing if she won't go ahead. It ain't tricking if you got it, I'll pay. Go ahead. She a freak in the bed. Go ahead, hey. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. One racks, two racks, three racks, spin.
Bread, more bread, bad bitch. Go ahead. On a mile out, my body send me one. Ain't scared. Yeah. On the plane, red giving me brain. Girl, go ahead. Spend that money, cause that money ain't a thing.
That's what I said.
Need a freak in the sheets. Need a wet like a leak. Need head all night. Don't forget to rub my feet. We getting money like a motherfucker, stunting like a motherfucker. Oh. Smoking out. Ain't no ounces around this motherfucker. No. Shake that ass, clap the ass. Ooh, you got me rapping fast. Passing up to ditty bitches. Ooh. Looking for your ratchet ass. Ooh, so he ain't tripping. He a spinning bitch. He got a bag. Put you first class on the plane with your bag.
I put her on the plane and she won't go ahead. Let her spin the whole thing and she won't go ahead. It ain't tricking if you got it, I'll pay. Go ahead. Little mama, she a freak in the bed. Go ahead. Hey, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
I see it just started streaming. The video just came out and looks like you're doing some numbers there. So to kind of give us a little background of who you are, where you grow up, and how you got started doing this shit.
Okay, man, I keep it fast and simple. I'm from St. Louis, Missouri. I was in the military for 17 years. Went in the military as a child, basically almost 18.
Wow.
And
thank you for your service.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. So I started doing music as a, I don't want to say not even as a gimmick or playing around. It was an accident. I'm very competitive. Before this, I competed in mixed martial arts, hand-to-hand combat for the military. I was one of the best fighters in the country as an amateur, competing in mixed martial arts and jiu-jitsu. I just decided that making money was more important to me. And from there, I stopped playing sports and started focusing on making money.
So military, so that must have, like what did that teach you to prepare you for the music business and for all of your other businesses that you're doing? Because let's face it, you're a baller out there. And we're going to talk about some of your other businesses because that's who you are, too.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what you did, in the military and kind of how that really prepared you.
Okay, so
as move forward.
At the beginning of my career, I went into the military as an operating room technician. At the end of 2002 is when I was like, man, I need to join the military. Well, what happened, my girlfriend at the time was pregnant with my son. Later, we got married and divorced and went through the whole family thing. But that's what we did, man. That's what it was at first. And I worked in the operating room for a few years as an OR tech, and I just was so bored with that career. I thought it was like prison. Then went on to do some other things, man. What actually happened, I had to change my job because I was still this young knucklehead St. Louis kid. Like, not even like, what I mean? I was an undisciplined kid, even though I was disciplined in the military.
What part of St. Louis are you from?
I'm from the north side, man. I'm from West Florida and Riverview. You know what I mean? Normally called Murder Capital of the City, like Walnut Park, you know what I mean? Riverview Circle, that's it, Murder Circle. So that's where I'm from. So after that, I just did some shit in the military. I got in trouble for shooting at some kids on the highway, doing some dumb shit, and that was pretty much it. You know what I mean? And they made me cool story, but not cool, like got in trouble, went to jail. My unit let me sit in jail for a couple weeks. Made me want to change my life. And then after that, I changed my job. I deployed, went to Iraq, was with the Sergeant Major of the Army, and this general that I later came across again, later in my career, his name was General Hort, Sergeant Major Daly, stuff like that. He was a Sergeant Major of the Army. I was in their unit, worked with them. And then while I was there, I was doing the chemical shit, and this guy named Sardin Livingston was just like, you're very smart, you know, you shouldn't be just doing this. And he was like, you should go try to be a technical escort, which at the time I didn't know what that was, but we mitigate clandestine labs. Like, I could go in, I could build aeroponic facilities, drug labs, opium facilities. They just made me more dangerous. It was like, oh, so you're going to teach me how to fucking vertically integrate crack cocaine or crack, you know what I mean, or cocaine. So I was like, this is a dope-ass job. Learn how to make homemade explosives and a whole bunch of other bullshit. Then I put those skills to use, was in that special missions unit for a long time, volunteered to deploy to Afghanistan. After my deployments to Iraq and shit like that, went to Afghanistan and made it home. You know what I mean? And then after that, I went to Germany, created, that's where the entrepreneur in me started coming out. Before I went to Germany, I owned some restaurants, a Mexican restaurant called El Guadalajara, which was in Tacoma, Washington, which we'll get back to why I came back to Washington. And after that, man, it was just like, okay, what the fuck am I going to do now? I created a company called Straight Liquor No Chaser, didn't speak any German, didn't know anything about German business, created a off-location event company in Europe, and ran it the fuck up with my partners. My homeboys, that was in the Army, you know what I mean? And that pretty much brought me back to the United States, came back to Washington as my duty station before I got medically retired, and I started, you know, hustling, you know what I mean? My last year in the Army, you know, and I don't know if I can get in trouble for this or not, but I was selling weed my last year in the Army, even though I wasn't smoking, you know what I mean? I found a way or a loophole in the system, and I found a way to be able to smell like product without getting in trouble. I was going to work. My first one would be like, God damn, you smell like weed, bro. Like, we're going to piss test you today. So I was just getting piss tests all the time, even though I wasn't dealing with the product or smoking or taking any drugs. I knew that if I wanted a future in cannabis, I had to get started regardless of what the risk was. And then I met a couple people, which brought me to the music shit. A guy that I was brokering product for was just like, I will brokering product too, which is nothing more than the middleman on the streets. But I was brokering this product, and he asked me, are you the plug or are you the middleman? And I was like, if you say that one more time, I'm going to go make a song. Then I went and made the song. The song wound up in Street Runner's hands. Street Runner got hella Grammys, Grammy nominations, all kind of shit. Street's my homeboy. So it's Clem Rashad. So Clem and Street had the song. We cooked it up. Shit came back tight. And they was like, bro, you sure you don't not a rapper? And I was like, bro, I never thought about being a rapper in my life. And this was almost a year and a half ago.
Leviticus Black, Leviticus Black. Yeah. Boy, Diego, man, nigga, man, pull up. Real shit, no flex. Tell these niggas, man, this is what we got. Little bitch, yeah.
Are you the plug, or you the plug, or you the middleman? Are you the plug, or you the plug, or you the middleman? Worth about a million grams, all biz, I whip these bands. Are you the plug, or you the plug, or you the middleman? All up Diego, if you know that it's fuego, you needin' a brick, and I'm dropping that payload. I ordered that strike, and you know it's my set, so you fuck up my money, I'm giving you halos. Ripping that rolly in my arm out the race, though. Pulling your bitch, and I play it like Play-Doh. Bitch is so wet, but she all in my face, bro. Chasing that money, don't give her no Play-Doh. Back to the future, first place in the rape code. Foundation over balls, bitch. Growing grass, no salt shit. Risk it all, big balls, rich. Nigga need a little money, gon' flip that, huh? Up all night on the Kit Kat, huh? Chasing that bread, come to riff rap, huh? On that flight with the big bag, huh? On my time, no jet lag. All good vibes, no setbacks. Beat that case, bet they mad. Trip a little sauce like a red rag. Put a little Gucci on the coat tag. Got a little head, no throat gag. I don't want your bitch, see your whole back. Blow a little smoke, what a purpose.
And after that, I just really started looking at, like, maybe I could do this. 2 Chainz did it at 36, 37, my age. So it was like, and at this time, I was only like 34. You know what I mean? 35. And I was like, well, 2 Chainz did it, then I could do it. You know? And so
absolutely.
I went from there. And I said, well, if I want to do it, I want to have an intended outcome and purpose. And my purpose was just to have influence in the cannabis industry and let niggas know that I be spitting. And I got real shit. You know what I mean? I could keep up with anybody. I mean, that's I'm hot. Probably better than most. Yeah, I'm better than most of the niggas I feel without right now. You know what I mean? I feel like they ain't, not that they shit ain't got no substance. It's just like, my nigga, what you rapping for? Like, the shit you be rapping about, like, you know, niggas get in the booth and they freestyle everything line by line with no real substance to their music, though. You feel me?
Absolutely.
Not to be no haters.
So let's talk about your current single, Go Head, with Boosie. So how did that collaboration happen? And how is it working with Boosie on that?
Man, I'm a fucking go-getter. So it was just more about, like, okay, like, I was on Instagram one day, and Boosie was like, if you want a verse from me, DM me. Or DM J. Coop. And that's what it was. And I was like, you know what, man? Boosie a fucking legend, especially, like, a Southern legend. So, like, let me just get a song with a fucking legend and start from there. Even if I'm doing this music shit, I know niggas that's been rapping this whole time and they got no major features. They ain't saved they bag long enough to go get a feature. You know what I mean? And so I just was like, okay, well, let me get this feature. And I called J. Coop. J. Coop was like, yeah, you know, send me the money. And so you're like, damn, I'm just going to get this nigga money on Cash App, but fuck it. So I told him, I was like, man, when I pull up in Atlanta, you can come get the cash. So I paid him probably like 4 months before I even got the feature. And I just didn't know what song I wanted to put him on, nothing. You know what I mean? And so then I was like, okay. I told him, sent him the song. Boosie knocked out the verse the same day I sent the song. And then they was like, well, you can shoot the video at Boosie House. And I was like, I don't want to shoot the video at Boosie House. I want to shoot a video in my own environment. You know what I mean? And this whole time I was making friends with different people who run hotels. And I was like, I want my shit in a presidential suite in a hotel. You know what I mean? Most people not doing that. So then I rented a Prezi, you know what I mean, and really just ran the track from there. And now, you know, it comes down to the science after this, like, make the music, but, like, how the fuck you gain followers and monthly listeners and shit. So, you know, it's still a sweet science, but we on top of that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not easy out there. You know, new artist business is a tough business, but, you know, you're breaking through, and certainly, you know, I think it's part of that hustle of who you are, you know. So what other features are you looking to work with? What other artists are you looking to work with? Tell us about your new projects you're working on and what we should be looking for.
Man, like, I really want to, like, I want my project to be about, like, either all trappers or niggas that, like, really represent the streets. Like, I like making hot music and club songs, you know what I mean? But my goal, like, real influential, first and most, if I could get a whole feature, just like any other major artist, everybody want a feature from Hov. You know what I mean? So if Mr. Carter give me a feature one day, that you know, Sean Carter, you know what I mean, we get that feature from him. Secondly, Lil Wayne. Then I really like to go to some street shit. You know what I mean? Some Gucci or some Jeezy's, some Yo Gotti's, you know, some anybody out of Texas, maybe some old school shit, Scarface, Snoop. Like, that would be fun. Those are all, like, dream features. But if I had people that I want to work with just to make hit records and knowing my creativeness, a Drake. You know what I mean? I need a fucking Drake feature. You know what I mean? And then, like, young, you know, these little young niggas, like, you know, the baby, Lil Baby. You know what I mean? I really respect the fuck out of Lil Baby. Like, he a real hustler. He a real outside-ass nigga. Like, I could see that. I mean, there's a few others. Dave East. You know what I mean? Like, if I want a Fat Joe, Nori, like, you know, it's niggas, like, that all was street niggas doing street shit. You know what I mean? And then it's the crazy part, man, like, I was a civilian. I mean, I only been a civilian for, you know, a year now. You know what I mean? August 18th of 2019 is when I got out of the military. So it's like, damn, I'm making a lot of moves for only being in the real world for 1 year.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And people sometimes don't get it because the world that I lived in didn't exist in them. You know, things go bump in the night, but we the shit that's going bump. You feel me? Like, in the military, we the ones kicking in niggas' doors or making noise or doing whatever we got to do, quote unquote, protect the country or serve the interests of the United States. You know what I mean? And I love what I did for a long time. Now it's time for me to do some other shit. You know what I mean? I'm trying to go bump on these fucking billboard charts. You feel me?
Well, you know, the thing is about you, man, like, I don't know what city you're in from day to day, so I know you're out there working. I mean, I'll I'll give you a call, and one day you'll be in Miami, next day you'll be in, you know, in back on the West Coast, you know, Washington State, and you'll be in, you know, Atlanta, New York, Philadelphia, or New York.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going to pop up. So I know you're doing your thing and you're making records. So is there anything else you'd like to tell, like new artists coming into the game or anything else that you can, because you're a new artist, but you know, you've been doing this for a while, just in life, and now you're taking that same kind of mentality to this music game. So what can you tell people?
Understand the game that you're playing. You got to understand, like, everything a monopoly board, every system. So the music system is the monopoly board, and you got to imagine playing Monopoly. You know what I mean? How you putting up houses on your property? You know, you could be, your property might be the lane you want to be in, but, like, how are you getting your established foothold in there? And then from that established foothold, how do you go to dominating and owning a hotel in your city? You know what I mean? And that's what we missing. That's what a lot of people miss coming in as new artists. You got to pay to play sometimes. Sometimes you just got to put your money where your mouth is. You know what I mean? Pay for that feature. You might not get the fucking money back, but make a plan so that you can at least try to get the money back. You know what I mean? And then the other thing is, ride your own fucking wave. Like, I like the features and shit, and I love, like, hearing the intellect from other artists or major artists, but like one of my guys, his name is Fats, he was just like, this is my partner, he was like, Diego, like, you cold too. Like, what the fuck, bro? Ride your own way. You know what I mean? Because at the beginning, when I first started doing this shit, I was like, I need this feature, that feature, I need to be connecting with them. I'm running down, chasing people. But really, I don't give a fuck now. You know what I mean? Like, my nigga, I got a lot to offer. If you want to come fuck with me or do some business with me, pull up. If you want to have a feature from me, pull up. You know, it's plain and simple. No bullshit, my nigga. Like, I'm outside doing real shit that most niggas can't even tell you how to get your bag up outside of artistry. What you going to do with your artist money when you get it? That shit like winning the lottery. My nigga, if you don't know no other way to make no money, then you can't sustain yourself in the game. Everything's a stepping stone. So before I become the major artist that I'm going to become, what I feel is I had to learn how to sustain my income. Because God or you know, the higher power didn't want that shit to be taken away from me. Because after you get it, you got to be able to keep it. And that's one main lesson. My little brother was in the NFL. And his biggest lesson to me as my little brother was like, damn, I had no way of sustaining the money I was making. So you get $1.3 million bonus and you spend the whole thing. After you pay your agents and shit like that, you might only have 600 racks.
That's right.
After a new car or two in the house and tricking off on some bitches, like, you ain't going to have shit.
Yeah, no, you're right. You got to plan. You know, you got to plan, and it's all about planning. So
you want to talk about some of your other businesses?
Sure. Big thing for me right now, man, like, I started with small ones as I was trapping and doing shit, brokering product, you know, because I want to use a better business term. As I was brokering the cannabis product, I started putting my money into other businesses, like barbershops, which only reason I went there is my family had an understanding. They own barbershops. The next was trucking, events. I own, a comedy club with Nick Jackson, who's actually going to be on the Rock's TV show about his life. So Nate is playing Junkyard Dog on this new TV show. I'm learning the business side, shit like that. And I got the barbershop. I just went to purchase a strip club in Houston. I follow my gut feeling, and it's my guy owning the strip club, but just different shit. It didn't work out, but it was in God's favor. It didn't work out for me. I mean, I could have gave him the bag and then been fucked the shit out of luck a few days later.
You also own a cannabis farm.
Right. I own three.
Okay.
Two indoors.
Not one, not two, but three.
Yeah. Two indoor farms and one outdoor farm. And I'm all in a partnership with those. You know what I mean? So I do have partners. I partner with my mentor. My mentor put me in the game. He just told me, you know, like, hey, this is what we need to do, you know. And then as you do business, man, like, I just want to say this, you know, to these young artists or just people in general in businesses, I have a really tough situation that, I just want to speak about really quick. I had two friends who fell out with each other. One was named Money and the other one named Coach. You know what I mean? We'll just leave it there. Money helped me with the business that I'm in now, helped me learn it, taught me a lot about it. But Coach helped keep me out of jail, you know what I mean, with other shit that I had going on. And so sometimes you got to stand your ground as a friend to both and tell them both, like, I'm not choosing one or the other. That's not my position. If y'all don't like each other, that's on you all. I'm not going to be discussing anybody's business, but I'm still going to continue to be the person I was to both of you because you both have a special place in my life. And sometimes you got to learn to just let that those situations cool off as a new artist. Your mom or your cousin might be your manager. Then you might meet another manager or let's say a Neil and Warren who could put you in a better situation. Then you, what are you going to do? You know, and they don't like each other. You still got to maintain both relationships. Don't play one side or the other. Just remain neutral and be honest to both parties. That's all I want to say to the young artists.
Do you also own a dispensary?
No, I broke a product from processor to producer. So a producer is someone who takes it to the stores. We grow, we process the product. So I own a producer license, which means this is basically the producer's a license to grow. So it's not like Colorado where there's complete vertical integration where you can grow your own product and sell it in your own store.
But you have your own product line.
Yes, I do. I have exotic units, fresh cuts, soccer mom, wasabi, endo, battle buds, and then I have hitters, which is my edible line.
And you sell those individual products to people? You just package them and sell them as they are?
No, we sell them bulk wholesale. So basically, if you were going to take the product to the store, I'm going to sell you 50, 100 pounds, 300 pounds, and you're going to package that material for the store orders that you have. You're doing directly with the stores, B2B on the stores. I'm B2B between the processor and the producer.
Warren, you should know that. I mean, he's big time, so come on, all right?
I'm asking.
What, do you think he's out on street corners? Come on,
no,
dude.
I'm asking.
What the fuck, man?
It's not the world. Diego Fresh, baby, the baller here.
I ain't too good to peddle no packs. Like, if I had to, and that was the way my family had to survive and eat, then I'm on the streets with it. You know what I mean? I just was fortunate enough to come in the level where I didn't have to be a street nigga. You know what I mean? I could be a businessman.
Well, and you really are. And, you know, again, really happy to have you on our show and telling your story. And so where can they find you on social media?
Hey, man, you can find me on Instagram at I Am Diego Fresh or my fan page on Facebook, Diego Fresh. Again, Diego Fresh, Fresh. And I have, I am Diego Fresh on Instagram. Follow your boy. You'll see that Boosie cover on there. The next single is going to be hot. So I just love for you all to go get a piece of that. Come listen and make sure you listen to what the fuck I'm saying. Cause the shit that I be saying is what's most important. Yeah, I still got all this young swag, but, like, I really be honest with shit. You know what I mean?
It's great. No, man, really appreciate it. And thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Warren, thanks for spending. Look, I'm always impressed by Diego since he came to New York to meet us. That was like, I can't believe this guy is flying into New York to meet us. This is the kind of guy we
No, and he just got right on a plane, man. He makes it happen. It was great.
Hey, let them know, man. I flew in during COVID into New York.
During COVID.
It was a hot jump.
By the way, you might see him coming through an airport like wherever you guys are located because he's out there. That's all I can say.
Hey, listen, man. Don't be afraid to approach me. Another thing is, you know what I mean? It's like a fucking combat zone. I ain't afraid, man. Like, fuck, what I'm going to do? Either I'm going to sit back or I'm going to take action. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
You know, they had an opportunity, so I pulled up in New York and was like, look, I'm here. What's up?
Yeah, right, man.
It was great.
Thanks so much, man. And stay well, okay?
Thanks. And we'll speak soon. We'll speak soon, Diego.
How was Florida? My bad. Go.
Florida's great. You can't see now, but it's pretty hot right now. Nice.
Okay. It was Warren, how are you surviving up there in New York?
Well, they just closed the restaurants again. So, but I stay in. I don't go out much because it's like terrifying. A lot of people are walking around without masks and being weird. So.
It is beautiful here. That's all I get. I don't want to rub it in. It is like, today,
Warren, I think you need to go ahead and leave fucking New York and just go to Florida, man.
No, I'm coming to Tacoma to hang with you.
We're going to smoke a lot of weed if you come here.
So Warren can smoke.
and I'm sure you have some decent stuff too.
I do. I got some pretty good. I got their fucking fire, man. So pull up.
Well, next time we all have to do that together. You know what I mean? You know. Yeah. So there. All right. It's all good, man.
I didn't know. I got to roll you a big ass 21 gram blunt.
Oh my god!
21 gram blunt.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Wow.
It is, man. Wait till you see it, man. You're gonna be like, it's a fat ass cigar. Make sure y'all check me out, man. All fucking fire, so make sure y'all pull up, man.
Sounds good.
If not, hey, I'm gonna bring you a blunt. I don't give a fuck. I'll be in the airport with it in my mouth. Like, yeah. So fucking TSA, what's up with this?
I love that.
Hey, well, man, I hope y'all have a good time. I actually missed my plane to make sure I did the interview.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Hey, be well. Be safe.
You too.